Today we're going to talk about silence. We're going to talk about...
I didn't know that.
We're going to talk about pausing.
Pausing.
The article that we're going to talk about is from Psychology Today. It's entitled, A Simple and Powerful Technique for Better Listening. When I first read the title, I was thinking, okay, what is this technique? You lean in and you do something. But no, what he's talking about is basically pausing. We feel this need to fill every space with something.
Right.
And he's saying it's not necessary.
Right. I shouldn't say I hate. You read this simple and powerful technique and you say, I'm not interested. Because it's like nothing that's simple is powerful.
Right.
And all these little tricks that people use. But I thought, okay, I'll take a look at it. We used to teach this.
Right.
We taught that course at USF.
Yeah.
About
communication
skills. And this is one of the things that we talked about in that course. So it's not new information, but it's a very good reminder. And what he suggests is that before you speak, let me back up just a second. We all teach children how to talk.
Correct.
We don't teach anybody how to listen.
Right.
Okay. Most of our time is spent, here I am talking. Most of our time has been talking, but we're not good listeners.
Right.
And most of the problems we have are communication problems. And the communication problem is we're not good listeners.
Mm-hmm.
We talk, we don't listen. Okay, that's the first thing. Second thing he says is before you respond to what somebody has said to you, take one breath, just that single short pause before you respond.
Mm-hmm.
And that allows two things to happen. One is that it gives you time to formulate your thinking, to make sure what you're about to say, you want to say.
Right.
It's like read the email before you hit send, okay? And that's what this is pause before you speak,
okay?
Think before you speak. The other thing it does, that little gap, that multi-second, second or two space allows the other person, it gives permission for the other person to continue talking. Maybe they're not finished yet. That little pause allows them to finish their thinking,
right.
To finish their thought.
Right.
Okay? So it serves two purposes. Okay.
Right.
In everyday life, it's good for conversation. In therapy, it's really good because the therapist, by not immediately responding, gives the client or the patient a chance to speak.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
There was an article about
pause.
See how I did that? See, I was practicing.
But it created, you see what happened? It created that discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The pause made me start. It startled me because who's going to talk now? That's exactly the point. Don't worry about that pause.
Right.
You know, don't worry about the anxiety that creates.
Right. Yeah, we have to work through that.
Right.
There was an article published a number of years ago that said that on average, therapists either interrupt or intrude on what their patients are trying to talk about many, many times throughout a single therapeutic session. And you're right, we have to be comfortable, we have to become comfortable with the pause, with that little bit of silence. I have a couple of patients who, they just process slowly. And so it takes them a little bit of time. I can ask them a question and we can literally sit there for 2 minutes before they really formulate how they want to respond.
Right.
It's slow processing. But you have to allow that time if you want them to really consider and think about what you're talking about. And so I think about these people, when they're at school or at home or in, when they're with their family or whoever. If they take that long to process a question, just imagine what's going on at home. They're not they're not able to share their thoughts. They're not able to actually participate because, I think of that scene. You saw Rain Man,
I did?
A long time ago. But there's a scene in it where Raymond is talking, Tom Cruise's character is talking, and Dustin Hoffman's character responds, says something, and Tom Cruise says, he's answering a question from 5 minutes ago.
Right.
And it's that.
But there was a video about that.
Mm-hmm.
With children with autism,
right.
that they're responding to the question, but it's several minutes later.
Right. Yeah, but so it's this idea that we have to allow that time for the information to be processed and analyzed. I mean, if we think about the neuropsychological processes mm-hmm. that have yeah. to happen when you're going to respond to a question, mm-hmm. you have to let it get in there, make sure that you're going to provide the right response, and then go right. through the mechanism of providing the response. That can take time.
You know, we teach teachers mm-hmm. something called wait time.
Mm-hmm.
When a teacher is in front of a class and asks a question, if somebody doesn't respond immediately, the teacher will answer the question. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The kids learn not to say anything, so the teacher will. So we call it wait time, and we say to teachers, when you ask a question, wait 5 seconds mm-hmm. before you say anything, because it gives the students a chance to formulate it and to decide whether or not they want to risk
right.
getting it wrong. Okay, so you give them time. What this article is talking about is the same thing, but a very brief pause, several mm-hmm. seconds instead of 5 seconds. It's a second or two, just long enough to take a short breath before you say anything.
Right.
Okay, and I think of all the ways that this would be helpful. For example, in my family, when everybody's in the room, and especially if there are visitors, you could have 6 or 7 people in the kitchen at one time. And very often you get these very rapid responses. Somebody talks and somebody responds mm-hmm. and it's happening very quickly. Those are typically not thoughtful responses.
Right.
They're usually delivered as jokes or little wisecracks, but they're not thoughtful responses right. and they can create trouble right. for everybody. And so every once in a while I have to step in and say, hold, you know, let's slow everything down yeah. a little bit. Because it's getting a little bit
too rancorous. You can imagine what's happening, because I just did it right now. What happens in those situations, mm-hmm. if you're thinking about what's happening in your mind, is mm-hmm. I'm formulating a response before you finished
That's
asking
right.
the question.
Right.
And mm-hmm. so by the time you finish asking the question, if I'm starting to respond right away, right. there may have been something at the end of your question that changes and would alter how right. I should respond.
That's right.
We don't listen to that long
enough.
We don't
listen
long
enough.
We're right. focusing more on how we're going to respond. And so that pause is important.
And how many times has somebody said to you, you know, you get interrupted, say, wait a minute, I'm not, but I have this thought, I have to get it out,
mm-hmm.
right? And yeah. and how often do we do that?
Yeah.
If we just slow the pace, what the other thing he's telling us in this article is, if it's an important conversation, let's slow the pace of that conversation so everybody gets a chance to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And if it starts to accelerate, if the pace of the conversation begins to accelerate, everybody's going to be fighting for airtime. You know, I got to get my opinion out here. And people who are shy won't enter the conversation,
mm-hmm.
and people will be interrupting because they want airtime. If we slow the whole thing down, mm-hmm. if everybody slows down a little bit, everybody will have sufficient airtime. You don't have to interrupt. Everybody will be heard.
Absolutely.
Okay. I think it's especially useful in therapy.
Mm-hmm.
When I find myself, every once in a while I'll catch myself thinking, I'm talking too much here.
Right.
You know, something's going on here. Is there, because I'm doing too much mm-hmm. of the talking. So I have to dismantle all of that and get back to hear the patient's story.
Right. You know, that's especially problematic with teenagers, because teenagers are accustomed to, if I just stay quiet long enough, they're going to
that's right.
they're going to either answer the questions or they're going to
they're
move
notoriously
on to something else.
Good at that.
Right.
That I'll let dad do all the lecturing.
Yeah.
And then I'm off the hook.
Or the teacher.
You know? Right. Then I'm off the hook. You take the kid off the hook. And we're notoriously bad at lecturing our children.
Mm-hmm.
And all the lecture does is they tune out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But it also takes them off the hook. They don't have right. to do anything because we're doing all the work.
Absolutely.
So,
all right.
I think, let me see. Let me make sure. I have to look at my notes, right?
I'll pause.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think we've done it.
I think we hit all
this. This idea comes from a book, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff.
Right.
Remember that. I didn't read that. Did you read that book?
Mm-mm.
Don't Sweat the... No, you don't read. You listen to podcasts.
I absorb.
absorb.
Just take it all in.
This is from the book, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, Ellipse, and it's all small stuff.
Right.
I might have to take a look at that book.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's a small book.
Is it?
Yes.
That'll be good. I'll read that. Okay. It's from that book. I've not read Richard Carlson, I think, mm-hmm. was the author. And so I might have to get a copy. Anyway, it's from that book. But think about it. Do it. It's a real easy, it really is a very easy, but very powerful technique.
Simple, okay? But powerful.
Simple, but powerful. He was right.
Yeah. So, all right. That is it for today. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.